Hello, and welcome to Legal Bites. If you're new here, my name is Alita. I'm a lawyer licensed in California and DC, and on this channel, we explain the law one bite at a time. We don't give legal advice, but we do talk about how the law works and try to look into our crystal ball to see how things might turn out. If you're enjoying this on YouTube, we'd love it if you could like the video, subscribe to the channel, share it with friends, all the great YouTube-y stuff. And if you want to listen while out and about, we're now offering our live streams in podcast form where you can leave a rating and review. Links are in the description below, as well as to our clips channel where you can find some of the best clips taken from our live streams. Otherwise, if you want to catch me elsewhere, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And if you want to support the channel, you can do so on Locals, Patreon, or by becoming a YouTube member, or by buying some really awesome Legal Bites merch. Again, all links are in the description below. And with that said, let's get into it. All right, let's get into it. Happy Friday, guys. How is everybody doing? How's everybody in the chat? You guys know I love seeing where people are coming from. Anne Duncan, welcome from London, Canada. Baby Meatball, greetings from Disney World. I am super jealous. I've only been to Disney World once. I grew up going to Disneyland since I grew up in Southern California. But Disney World is really fun. Very, very fun. We've got Pamela C. from Arizona. Wonderful, wonderful. Secret Mix Girl from Glasgow as usual. We've got, Brown Frown liked the video. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Zoe Kennedy from Ontario, Canada. SD from New York City. Just for today, though. Just for today. Tracy Davis from Surrey, England. We got Morena from Italia. Buongiorno or buon pomeriggio. I don't know. What time is it in Italy right now? I'm not exactly sure. But we've got Craig Cruden from Thailand. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I love seeing where folks are coming from. It always just gives me a total kick, right? Because it's like, I don't know, it's nice seeing folks just kind of like tuning in from random parts of the world. It's great. I love it. So I hope you guys are having a great Friday. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Wherever in the world that you are, I hope this video finds you having a good week. I hope it's been a good one. And if not, I hope that you can use this weekend to recover and have a relaxing weekend, recover, start the next week fresh. But for now, we've got some updates in the Marilyn Manson case. I know that this is like a over 24 hours at this point, but yesterday there was so much to cover having to do with the Vanessa Bryant trial. There was a massive verdict in that case over the Kobe Bryant death images. And then there were some other stories that came up as well, having to do with Olivia Wilde getting served. You know, she had some comments that she had made to Variety magazine about the child custody case between her and Jason Sudeikis. So that was interesting to talk about. And then, of course, the Trevor Summers trial, which is wild, coming out of Florida. So if you guys didn't see that live stream yesterday, I had Uncivil Law on with me and I had Nate, the lawyer, with me. It was really great to have them back again on the channel and having some really, really interesting discussions, some disagreements about the law and about verdict numbers and things like that. But a lot of really interesting discussion. Those guys are great. They're good friends of mine. And I was really happy to have them on, and I'm going to, I think, have more friends on the channel back again as well. Cause I think that's one of the things that I really miss about having, cause lately, and I mentioned this before, but I've been doing a lot of solo live streams and a lot of solo content because I've been sort of trying to figure out like what I'm doing, where I'm going with different things. And I want to make sure that I'm able to hold my own, so to speak, you know, after this massive Depp trial, when I had so many people on a panel on my channel, I wanted to, you know, make sure that I can still do it by myself. Right. So, but I do miss having my friends on here. So maybe once a week, maybe a couple times a week, having some LawTube friends, maybe some folks that are not even necessarily lawyers, but on the channel. You know, I also had, was that last week already? Was that over a week ago that I had? Yeah, I guess it was that I had a Dr. Honda on the channel. So having some conversations, having some interviews, some discussions is always a good thing. But for now, let's talk about these latest developments in the Brian Warner, aka PKA, Marilyn Manson, the Evan Rachel Wood, and Ilma Gore. We've been expecting this. We've got this cliffhanger, right? Because we've gone through all of the filings for the motion to conduct limited discovery, right? As a recap. So in case anybody's kind of fuzzy on the details about where we are and what's going on in this case. So Evan Rachel Wood and Ilma Gore both filed anti-SLAPP motions. They're trying to dismiss some substantial portions of this lawsuit through the anti-SLAPP process. As soon as an anti-SLAPP motion is filed in California, the case is essentially frozen until the judge decides on the anti-SLAPP issue. That means neither side can conduct discovery on the other. Neither one can really do much of anything other than what they're supposed to do to proceed towards the anti-SLAPP conclusion. Sometimes, however, it is appropriate to request the ability to do discovery for the purposes of that discussion, for the purposes of that back and forth for the anti-SLAPP question. But you have to limit it to only discovery on that. And it has to be like information that you wouldn't be able to reasonably get yourself, right? Like it has to be information, generally speaking, that's going to be in the hands of third parties or in the opposing party, that you wouldn't be able to provide for your own defense for the anti-SLAPP motion. So that is the issue that is going on in this case regarding this discovery motion that we are waiting on it. We're waiting on it, right? We've gone through all of the motions. We've gone through the back and forth. I've talked about the different arguments that I think are compelling, that I think are less compelling, the ones that I find convincing, less convincing. And I don't know, maybe some folks might disagree with me on that. I know that some people have seen, I've seen some of the comments on some of these videos saying that I'm very biased for Marilyn Manson. I'm just trying to talk through what is convincing to me as an argument on its own and what is not. And there are many times where, you know, I've talked about on Marilyn Manson's side where there's a portion of the complaint that I think is relatively weak. His allegations against Evan Rachel Wood for defamation, for example, the way in which he extends that to Evan Rachel Wood, I think that's the weakest part of his complaint. And I don't know if that's something that will survive an anti-SLAPP motion. Now that said, on the other hand, you know, there are parts of the anti-SLAPP motions that I think that from Evan Rachel Wood and Ilma Gore that have weaknesses there. So I am trying to just go by the facts and the law. I'm formulating conclusions. And by the way, just like anybody else, we are all able to form a conclusion based on what's in front of us. And then if, let's say the judge disagrees with what I think should happen, that happens a lot, right? And then if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And then we move on. But I'm just sort of, and part of that is when you're wrong, you have an opportunity to learn. So I don't see being wrong on any of these things as a kind of risk or anything like that. What I think is the most important thing is to show your homework, and so that, you know, if you end up being wrong, you can kind of go back and reevaluate and be like, okay, where did I go wrong? What got in the way of my process to the conclusion that I ended up not, you know, not aligning with what actually ended up happening? So, but I don't view any of this process as being biased. If I happen to agree with one side or another on a particular argument, I really am trying to look at these specific arguments and the specific issues at hand. And really all that we are doing here so far has been looking at the arguments having to do with anti-SLAPP and having to do with discovery, and, you know, these specific legal issues as to whether or not this litigation is allowed to move forward, or whether or not Marilyn Manson is allowed to request information from Evan Rachel Wood and Ilmagore and several other third parties. So I have not made any kind of conclusions as to the ultimate issues in this case. I mentioned in yesterday's live stream that I have now seen the Phoenix Rising documentary. I actually watched it twice, to be honest, because I want to have a video out on it in the next few days, my thoughts on it. And I really want to make sure that I do it the right way, right? I want to make sure that I'm careful, that I treat it in a way that is appropriate and that kind of gives credence to a lot of different issues involved, because this is a very sensitive topic, regardless of which side you're on this one, right? Like if you support Evan Rachel Wood, if you think that she was abused by Marilyn Manson, if you think that Marilyn Manson abused Evan Rachel Wood during her relationship with him, then you think that this is somebody who is a victim who is now continuing to be abused through the litigation process, right? That's a very sensitive subject. Now, on the flip side, if you think that Evan Rachel Wood is lying about some or all of the things that she's been saying about Marilyn Manson, then you are looking at this as Marilyn Manson is entitled to due process. And he is someone who has been dismissed from life just because of accusation. And I understand why people will be very sensitive to that as well, because we have seen examples of when someone has been dismissed from society because of an allegation that ended up not being true, right? Johnny Depp is the clearest example that everybody's got on their minds coming right into this case. So I completely understand people that are very passionate on both sides of this issue. And so as we proceed, I want to be mindful of all of that. And at the same time, just evaluating what's in front of me. So on this particular issue, we've got this discovery motion. It was set for a hearing on August 18th. That was over a week ago now. We were so excited to see some kind of an answer, right? Because we want to know, is Marilyn Manson going to be able to depose Evan Rachel Wood? Is he going to be able to depose Ilmagore? Is he going to be able to depose the FBI agent whose name is on this alleged FBI letter? These are big questions, right? Because we all want to know the facts to this case, whether you're on one side or the other. And now it's like we're watching some kind of not to cheapen the reality of this case, but it's like you're watching some drama TV and you think you're going to get the conclusion, and then it's like cliffhanger. Sorry, next season. That's how it feels, because now the hearing has been pushed back. On the day of the hearing, or the night before the hearing, typically what happens is the court issues what's called a tentative ruling. And so they basically say, this is what I'm thinking. This is how I'm thinking that I'm going to be deciding this case. And, you can convince me one way or another, parties. We're going to have a hearing tomorrow, and we're going to be chit-chatting and not chit-chatting, but like the parties will have an opportunity to try to convince the judge either not to change her mind or to change her mind, depending on which side that the judge seems to be leaning based on what's on the tentative ruling. And so when I checked it, and this is public record, just like the docket, you can go to the court's tentative rulings pages. And it's only up there for a short period of time. So I screenshotted it. I put it on Twitter and Instagram and elsewhere and all these other places, and basically showed, like, this is what the court said, which basically said, I need more time. I need more time to figure out the answer to this question. So with that, the parties were like, okay, well, we've got this hearing on the 18th that was supposed to happen. Judge needs more time. Now we have this other hearing that's on September 13th. For the anti-slap motions, which, if you're Marilyn Manson, you're saying, hey, in order for me to meet my deadlines to file my oppositions to both of these motions, because he's got two of them, right? There are two motions that have been filed. He needs to file oppositions to both of them. So in order for me to file my oppositions to these, there's a certain time deadline that is that courts can be very strict about. You have to meet your deadlines. You have to make it before your filing deadline passes, because otherwise you can get reprimanded and you can get called out by the other side. And some judges are very strict about that. So I understand the anxiety from Marilyn Manson's camp to say, okay, well, we still have this other deadline that's on the calendar that if it's still on the calendar, we have to abide by those deadlines unless the judge actively takes them off. So with the judge not having rescheduled this prior hearing from the 18th on the discovery motion hearing, that creates a bit of anxiety for Manson's side, right? So now we have what was filed on the 24th. Yeah, August 24th. So yeah, day before yesterday. We have an unopposed ex parte application for order continuing September 13th, 2022, anti-SLAPP hearings. And I will pull this right up. Okay. And before I get into that, Beth Cunningham, welcome to Bike Club. Very happy to have you here. And I hope you have a good time. I appreciate it. I really appreciate you joining us. So what exactly does this mean? So we've seen an ex parte application before, right? And that was the initial request by Marilyn Manson's side to say, hey, so we've got this issue with the anti-SLAPP hearings that have been bumped up from December, January, and now this creates all of these deadline issues for us. We need to get in front of the judge to get this all sorted out so that we can request the ability to request discovery and all this kind of stuff, right? Like this, somebody at the firm there looked at the calendar and said, oh crap, now that the judge has moved this forward, we're kind of in a bind. We've got to talk to the judge about this issue. So an ex parte application is, I mean, it's basically that. It's basically where you're requesting the ability to get in front of the judge lickety split for one reason or another. And so a lot of times it'll be so you can have like a 10 a.m. emergency hearing or an 8:30 a.m. hearing is what it says here in Department 50, August 25th, 2022, 8:30 a.m. Or, you know, sometimes it'll just be placed on the calendar so that the judge can like answer one way or another, or just sign the order if it is unopposed, like it is here. So what exactly is this ex parte application for? It's to continue the September 13th, 2022 anti-SLAPP hearings. So in other words, what they are requesting to do here is they're requesting to push back the September 13th hearings. And it looks like the other side isn't fighting them, which is good. This is good. Now, and one of the things that I want to point out here too, is that I think a lot of people have the perception about litigation that the two parties have to be fighting every step of the way, that like, you know, one side asks for one thing, the other side just opposes, like immediately just says, nope, like, no, we're not going to let you do anything. Every possible advantage that you are trying to get, we are going to try to fight you tooth and nail until the ends of the earth. We are going to do that. But that usually is not how things work out. I mean, especially where the issue at hand is not something that is really reasonable to fight about. And here, where there is a motion that has a hearing that was supposed to happen, and the judge is the one that said, no, I need more time, that's not the fault of either party. This is a situation where it would have looked pretty crappy for the other side to fight them on this. It would have looked bad for Evan Rachel Wood's or Ilma Gore's attorneys to fight Marilyn Manson's attorneys on this, because it's like, it wouldn't make any sense. It wouldn't make any sense for them to fight on the September 13th hearing when this shift came from the court. Like, what kind of an argument would they be able to make? Like, what has Marilyn Manson's attorneys done wrong here? Nothing really. And Beth Cunningham, to answer your question, is this the same as a continuance? A continuance means a delay, essentially. So a continuance means that where a hearing has been continued, that's usually where you're going to be hearing that term. It means the hearing is getting pushed back. A lot of times courts will say when it's being pushed back until, it's being continued to this date. That's what they'll say. But other times, if the court doesn't have a date in mind, a particular date in mind, they won't necessarily say. So that's what happened in this tentative hearing was, or not tentative hearing, sorry, tentative ruling was the judge said, hey, I need more time. We are going to continue this hearing that's scheduled for August 18th. Didn't say until when. So I hope that answers your question. So let's get into the meat and potatoes here. Okay, to all parties and their counsel of record, please take notice that on Thursday, August 25th, 2022, at 8:30 a.m., blah, 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 we're going to meet in front of the judge. That's essentially what this first paragraph says. this application is made pursuant to California Rules of Court Rules 3.1200 ETSEC, Code of Civil Procedure Section 128 and Department 50's Local Rules. Good cause exists for the relief sought. On July 22nd, 2022, the court permitted Warner to file a motion seeking limited discovery to oppose defendants' anti-slap motions. The court set that motion for hearing on August 18th and set defendants' anti-slap motions for hearing on September 13th, making Warner's anti-slap oppositions due on August 30th. This is basically going through like these are the deadlines that we have in place for these various motions. And then what has happened to shift certain things. On August 17th, the court posted a tentative order stating it needs additional time to rule on the discovery motion, and consequently, the hearing thereon will be continued. The court did not reset the hearing date, and as of the filing of this application, it does not appear one has been set. Warner's oppositions to the anti-slap motions, however, remain due on August 30th. Accordingly, if the September 13th hearings are not continued, Warner will be required to oppose the anti-slap motions before the court hears and rules on the pending discovery motion. And that just doesn't make sense, right? Because his whole point is that he needs to know if he's allowed to request this information so that he can respond to the anti-slap motions, right? So if he has to respond before that other decision on discovery is going to be made, it makes all of that moot, right? And it has a potential to unfairly prejudice him. On August 23rd, 2022, counsel for Warner provided notice to all parties of this ex parte application in compliance with California Rules of Court, Rules 3.1203 and 3.1204. Defendants stated that they will not oppose a brief continuance, quote unquote. This ex parte application is based on this application, the attached memorandum of points and authorities, the declaration of Jackson S. Trugman filed herewith, all pleadings, papers, records, and files in this case, and such other argument as may be presented to the court at the hearing on this ex parte application. All right. What's the memorandum of points and authorities? This is the part where they really say, like, this is the authority that we have. This is the case law that supports our position, all that kind of stuff. All right. Part one, introduction. Plaintiff Brian Warner, professionally known as Marilyn Manson, requests an order continuing the September 13th, 2022 hearings on defendants' anti-slap motions so the court may hear argument and rule on Warner's pending motion for limited discovery before he opposes defendants' motions. Good cause exists for ex parte relief. Defendant's two pending anti-slap motions are set for hearing on September 13th. Also pending is Warner's fully briefed motion for limited discovery necessary to oppose the anti-slap motions, which was scheduled to be heard on August 18th. Last week, the court continued the August 18th hearing because it needs additional time to rule on the motion, but did not set a new date. Given that Warner's oppositions to the anti-slap motions are due on August 30th, absent a continuance of the September 13th hearings, Warner will be required to oppose two anti-slap motions before the court hears and rules on his discovery motion. Yeah, that's 4 days from now. And just so that you guys understand, like, it's not like they just sit down in an hour and hammer out an opposition to a motion. Those things take time because, I mean, it could very well be that the firm has plenty of examples to draw from where they can just, you know, take sections of law and not have to do extra research and kind of put things together. But even still, these things take time to write up, to draft up. And like, if this was something that, that they then yesterday, the court said, nope, that would have put a lot of pressure on them. And not just pressure, arguably unfair pressure, to be completely honest with you. Accordingly, plaintiff respectfully requests the court continue the September 13th hearings such that the court can set the hearing on Warner's discovery motion before his anti-slap oppositions are due. Defendants have stated they will not oppose a brief continuance. Okay, part two. Ex parte relief is warranted under the circumstances. So even though it's unopposed, they still have to give some good authority for why they're allowed to do this thing. This is just like a normal legal document here. Okay, a request for a continuance supported by a showing of good cause usually ought to be granted. And it cites to Oliveros v. County of Los Angeles. It's a 2004 appellate case. There is good cause here to continue the September 13th hearings. On July 22nd, 2022, the court permitted Warner to file a motion seeking limited discovery necessary to oppose defendants' anti-slap motions. The court set the hearing on that motion for August 18th and set the hearings on defendants' anti-slap motions for September 13th, making Warner's oppositions to the anti-slap motions due on August 30th, pursuant to Code of Civil Procedure Section 1005B. The day before the August 18th hearing, the court stated it needed additional time to rule on the discovery motion, and the August 18th hearing on that motion would be continued. The court did not state when it would reset that hearing. Plaintiff called Department 50 two times this week, and as of the filing of this application, it does not appear the court has reset the hearing date. Warner's oppositions to the anti-slap motions, however, remain due on August 30th. Now, remember, this was filed on Wednesday, August 24th. So if they called twice this week, that means they probably called Monday. They probably called Tuesday. That's what it looks like. And based on the fact that the 18th was on a Thursday, I believe, right? Yep, it was on a Thursday. So the tentative ruling was apparent on the 18th, by the 18th. So they probably called on Monday, probably called on Tuesday, and they're like, hey, are we gonna get a date for this new hearing? Cause we've gotta figure this out. things are starting to warm up a little bit in this room. pressure is starting to build for Team Manson. And because of their deadlines that they have to meet. Okay, so then here, the day before the August 18th hearing, the court stated it needed additional time to rule on the discovery motion, and the August 18th hearing on that motion would be continued. The court did not state when it would reset that hearing. Okay, so sorry, I totally read this whole portion here. Warner will be immediately and irreparably harmed if the September 13th hearings are not continued, regardless of how the court ultimately rules on the discovery motion. If the discovery motion is granted, in full or in part, Warner will have already prepared and submitted his oppositions without the benefit of any such discovery. He will need to revise and resubmit his oppositions after the discovery is taken, wasting court and party resources. Indeed, the court already indicated on July 22nd that it would likely continue the September 13th hearings if discovery were allowed. And that's true. If you saw the videos where we went through the latest filings on this particular issue, I think it was the reply included a transcript from that ex parte hearing where the court said, well, yeah, if I do grant the ability to do discovery at this other hearing, you know, then I would push back the other hearings. And that makes sense. It's relatively routine. I've seen it happen with courts gradually pushing back deadlines only when they have to, but otherwise they'd rather keep an earlier hearing date so that they can allow cases to move forward faster so that they're not just sitting, they're not just languishing. Courts don't like to see cases just sitting there. They like to see them developing, if at all possible. So that exchange doesn't surprise me at all from the transcript that was attached to one of the declarations to, I think, the reply to this motion. In the event the court were to deny the motion, Warner would have already opposed the anti-SLAPP motions without having seen the court's analysis of several legal issues raised in both the discovery motion briefing and defendant's anti-SLAPP motions, and without having been able to argue those issues at a hearing on the discovery motion. This too would waste significant party and court resources and would deny Warner a fair hearing on the anti-SLAPP motions. And then it cites to Oliveros, which they quote as saying, the refusal of a continuance, which has the practical effect of denying the applicant a fair hearing, is reversible error. In other words, that's something that could be appealed and then reversed on appeal. Given that Warner's two oppositions are due in 4 court days, it's not a lot of time, like I said, there is good cause to grant the ex parte application and continue the September 13th hearings. It may be most efficient to continue the September 13th hearings with a date to be set during or after the to-be-scheduled hearing on Warner's discovery motion. This allows the court sufficient time to hear and rule on the discovery motion and reduces the likelihood of needing to continue the anti-SLAPP hearings again if Warner's motion is granted, but there is not enough time to complete the permitted discovery. Defendants have stated they will not oppose a short or brief continuance. Part 3. Counsel has complied with the notice requirements of California Rules of Court, Rules 3.1203 and 3.1204. Among other provisions, California Rules of Court, Rule 3.1203 provides as follows. A party seeking an ex parte order must notify all parties no later than 10 a.m. the court day before the ex parte appearance, absent a showing of exceptional circumstances that justify a shorter time for notice. Further, pursuant to California Rules of Court, Rule 3.1204, an ex parte application must be accompanied by a declaration detailing how notice was given. As stated in the declaration of Jackson S. Truckman, filed herewith, counsel has duly complied with the notice requirements of the California Rules of Court. Conclusion. For the reasons set forth above, good cause exists for the court to continue the September 13th, 2022 hearings on defendant's anti-SLAPP motions. So that's the basic request. And then they've always got to have to include a declaration with it, because what it is that they are saying in that ex parte application is, hey, we have done certain things. We've contacted the opposing party, and we did so with enough notice. We did exactly what we were supposed to do. And also we tried talking to the court. You need to have someone, these are all factual assertions that are being made to the court. So you need to have someone include a declaration that is signed under penalty of perjury to say, yeah, all of this is true. All of these things that we are representing to the court are true. And that's why you see declarations attached to all of these things here. So here's the declaration of one of the attorneys from Marilyn Manson's representative law firm. And it's basically just, this is a declaration in support of the ex parte application. So here it says, yep, I'm his attorney. And then it says, on July 22nd, 2022, the court permitted Warner to file a motion seeking limited discovery necessary to oppose defendant's anti-SLAPP motions. We filed it on July 25th. The court set the hearing on that motion for August 15th and set the hearings on defendant's anti-SLAPP motions for September 13th. Warner's oppositions to the anti-SLAPP motions are due on August 30th pursuant to Code of Civil Procedure Section 1005B, i.e., 9 court days prior to the hearing. The day before the August 18th hearing on Warner's motion for limited discovery, I went to the court's tentative order website and reviewed the order posted for this case, which stated the court needs additional time to rule on the motion to conduct limited discovery. Consequently, the hearing thereon will be continued. No appearance is necessary. The clerk will be in contact with the parties to discuss a new hearing date. And that is exactly what it said. Following the August 17th order, I called Department 50 on August 22nd and 23rd to ask whether a new date had been set for the August 18th hearing, as I had not heard from the clerk. I was not told that a date was set, and no date appears to be set on the online docket as of today's date. Warner will be immediately and irreparably harmed if the September 13th hearings are not continued, regardless of how the court ultimately rules on the discovery motion. If the discovery motion is granted in full or in part, Warner will have already prepared and submitted his oppositions without the benefit of any such discovery. In the event the court were to deny the motion, Warner would have already opposed the anti-slap motions without having seen the court's analysis of several legal issues raised in both discovery motion briefing and defendant's anti-slap motions, and without having been able to argue those issues at a hearing on the discovery motion. On August 23rd, I provided notice of the ex parte application. I received responses from counsel for defendants. True and correct copies of those emails are attached here too as Exhibit A. So basically the crux of the argument here is that regardless of which way the court decides on the discovery issue, the court needs to do that first, because either way, it's going to unfairly prejudice Marilyn Manson, right? Because if the court, like, let's say hypothetically speaking, the court decides the discovery issue after the deadline for him to respond, right? And let's say the court says, yes, you can conduct discovery. Well, then he has to go back and write a whole new opposition for the anti-slap motion, right? Because it's based on information that he has right now. He can only write it based on what he has now, the evidence that he has right now. And so if he's allowed to depose these five individuals that he wants to depose, then he has to go back and change the oppositions. That costs money. That costs a lot of money. Litigation is expensive. Lawyers are expensive. This also is inefficient for the court system. Like, there's just, you know, I said this yesterday, courts don't like to be inefficient. There is a lot of inefficiency that does exist in the court system. And so the courts don't, they generally speaking, wherever possible, want to try to prevent that from getting worse, right? Wherever possible. So there's that side. Then on the other side, let's say the court would have denied the motion, right? Let's say, hypothetically speaking, the court, after the anti-slap oppositions, you know, are due, and then the court hears the issue on the discovery issue, and the court says, well, we're not going to allow you to depose these individuals anyway. What they're saying here is that there are certain arguments that have been put in front of the court for the discovery motion that the court would have to decide on that can inform their strategy for the opposition for the motion. To me, I don't know. Okay. I guess that's an okay argument. The more compelling argument is the other one, right? The one saying that the evidence that they ultimately would have been entitled to, right? The discovery that they would be entitled to request, because the court decides that, right? Hypothetically speaking, we're in hypothetical land here, that they would not be able to use it just because of this calendaring issue. And that's, courts don't like decisions to be made by calendaring issues, right? They would much rather have these substantive issues be decided on the merits. So, what are these email exchanges between the attorneys? I'm very curious. So we're going to go all the way to the bottom, because that's the way that they're always organized. Okay. So here we have, okay. We're going to go back down to the bottom. Okay. We've got this email from Jackson Trugman. That is Marilyn Manson's attorney, from Tuesday, August 23rd. Okay, so this is the day before they filed the ex parte application. This is Tuesday afternoon. They're reaching out to opposing counsel. This is what they say. Counsel, we have not heard from the clerk following the court's order last week stating it needed more time to rule on the discovery motion and would be continuing the hearing, date TBD. We attempted to reach the clerk by phone yesterday and today. Huh, like I thought, Monday, Tuesday. for an update, but have not received any. Oh, sorry. No, not Monday. Yeah. No, Monday, Tuesday. Okay. Anyway, let's move on. Accordingly, we intend to move ex parte for an order continuing the September 13th hearings on the grounds that plaintiffs' oppositions to the anti-SLAPP motions are due on August 30th, and the court has not reset the discovery motion hearing or ruled on the motion. We intend to appear Thursday morning at 8:30 a.m. virtually, unless the September 13th hearings are reset by the court in the meantime. Please let us know if defendants will oppose the request, and if so, the basis for your opposition. All right. And this is the response from, I think this is Evan Rachel Wood's attorney. Yeah, this is Michael Kump. Okay. Yes. Yeah, Santa Monica. Because Ilma Gore's attorneys are in San Francisco, if I remember correctly. The response is, counsel, as demonstrated in Wood's opposition to plaintiff's motion to conduct 5 depositions before the September 13th anti-SLAPP hearing, plaintiff has failed to establish any good cause for allowing those depositions before the hearing. Plaintiff's motion, therefore, should be denied in its entirety. The statute and case law are clear that Wood's anti-SLAPP motion should be given priority and heard at the earliest possible date. Without waiving any of Wood's positions and arguments in her briefs, we do not oppose a brief continuance of the September 13th hearing. Basically, none of this before this last sentence right here, none of that was necessary. this is conversations between attorneys. They understand that this is likely going to be put in front of the judge because both sides know that they have to have these conversations that are going to be likely attached to a declaration that's going to be attached to an ex parte application. So there's a little bit of argument here by Evan Rachel Wood's attorney that is it's really not necessary. The only thing that they need to say is without waiving any of Wood's positions and arguments in her briefs, because then you basically are making it clear saying we're not backing off of our anti-SLAPP motion arguments. Like, we're not backing off any of those. We are not backing off of our opposition arguments having to do with the discovery motion either. But all we are agreeing with you on here is that we agree that the hearing date can be pushed back a little bit. So, but it is kind of funny though that they have this whole thing that's like blah blah blah, plaintiff has failed to establish any good cause for allowing those depositions before the hearing. You know, like, this is just, it's argument that you usually see in front of a judge and not just on a lawyer to lawyer basis. So I think it's kind of funny. It's interesting to see that style in these communications. You can kind of start to get a picture of the style of these various attorneys. Then we have response from Jackson Trugman, Marilyn Manson's attorney, saying, counsel, we have not heard. Oh, wait, no, sorry. Just kidding. This is, okay. And then Maggie Zimionic from, I think this is Ilma Gore's attorney as well, says everything appears to be there for us as well. Okay. Yep. And then here says Jackson, without waiver of the positions in our opposition papers, we don't oppose a short continuance of the 9/13 hearing date. Regards, Maggie. See, that's more of what I would expect the response on both ends to be. but the other, and if I don't want to assign any sort of like dirtiness to any of these attorneys, because I want to start from the assumption that these attorneys are doing what they need to do and they have certain styles and this is just kind of what they do. But these emails that go back and forth, they also are able to bill for it, right? You bill for all of these communications, whether it's over the phone, whether it's by email, whether it's by carrying pigeon. Any of these communications with opposing counsel are going to be billed to the client. So if you have a response that is unnecessarily long, I mean, it depends on how long, like this is not enough to like if this turned into like a very long, like multi-paragraph argument of like, this is like, we are reasserting everything that we argued in these motions and these oppositions and stuff, and all of our arguments and all of our points were including that in here, that would be potentially, I would be looking at that and saying, why are you putting that much into this email? Are you trying to overbill your client here? Are you trying to, are you trying to, I don't know, just make more money for the firm, kind of pad your billing hours? Sometimes attorneys will do that. This response is not long enough that like, it makes me really think that. So I want to clarify that, but, it is interesting that there was some extra stuff in there. And this is basically the response that I would expect to see is this one from Maggie Zimanek is basically saying, yep, we're not giving up any of our positions, but yeah, okay, that's fine. You can push back the date. So then we have the notice of ruling. In other words, the judge said, hey, this is what we are deciding. notice of ruling on ex parte application. And this is a very short notice right here. This is basically, that's just the service list, proof of service. This is the part that we really care about here. To all parties and their attorneys of record, please take notice that on August 25th, 2022, the court ruled on plaintiff Brian Warner, PKA Marilyn Manson's unopposed ex parte application for order continuing September 13th, 2022 anti-SLAPP hearings as follows. First off, plaintiff's ex parte application is granted. Second, the September 13th, 2022 hearings on defendant Evan Rachel Wood's motion to strike pursuant to Code of Civil Procedure section 425.16 and Evan and Ashley Gore, aka Elma Gore's same motion, blah, 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 are continued and will be reset at the hearing on plaintiff's motion for limited discovery pursuant to Code of Civil Procedure section 425.16G, which is set for September 27th, 2022 at 10 a.m. in Department 50. So, two things. They're not going to have to worry about continuing the anti-SLAPP motions because they've continued it. They've taken them off the calendar, essentially, the September 13th hearings that were set for it. And then they're saying, we're not even going to give it a date yet. We will give it a date at the next hearing. And the next hearing is September 27th, and that's going to be the discovery hearing, which means we've got a whole month before we get to find out whether or not the judge is going to allow these depositions to move forward. A whole dang month. So I don't know about you guys, but I was a little disappointed when I saw that conclusion that I was like, really? A whole month? Like that's what I mean, you know, I don't know. The court may be, that may be because the judge just has a lot that she has on her plate with other cases, other things that are taking more time with more urgency than this on other matters, other cases. We have no idea what her plate looks like in terms of all of the cases that she's presiding over. Or it could be that she's saying, I need more time to look at these particular issues because you don't want to be wrong on this kind of an issue. If you think about it, because if you are wrong, it's an injustice to one or the other, potentially, right? If you're wrong, if you allow discovery to move forward and it turns out that you're wrong on that, then that's an injustice to Evan Rachel Wood and Elma Gore because it's putting them through a litigation process that the California legislature has said, this is the whole reason for the anti-SLAPP statute, is that the court has said, the legislature has said, we don't want defendants to be going through litigation where it is improper because it's just going after their constitutional rights, right? So allowing discovery to move forward, if that is the wrong call, then that is putting two defendants through a litigation process that they are not supposed to be going through. Now, on the other hand, on the flip side, if the court says, no, I'm not going to allow discovery to move forward on these specific issues for the anti-SLAPP, so no, you can't do these depositions, Marilyn Manson, and that turns out to be wrong, then that means that she has hamstrung a party in trying to respond to an anti-SLAPP motion improperly, and then having claims dismissed that he is entitled to have heard, right? So the risk of being wrong on this particular issue is maybe enough for the court to say, I want to give myself a little bit more time to make this decision so that I know that the decision that I'm making is right. That could be the case, possibly. Or it could just be that there are so many cases that are backlogged that the court just doesn't have time to even get to these matters beforehand. So I said this before when the tentative ruling came out, that try to resist the temptation to take these deadlines getting pushed and whatnot as some sort of an indication about what the judge is thinking about this case, because we really don't know. We don't know if the judge has even looked at the filing papers or the motion papers in this particular issue yet, right? Like, we have no idea. We don't know. Or we don't know if she's read through everything and says, I want to do some more research on my own. We have no indication one way or another. All we know is that she says, I need more time in order to make this decision. So, like I said, resist the urge to take that as some sort of a sign one way or another as to how she's going to rule. I have my thoughts on these specific issues, on what I think is the right call. Judge might not agree with me. and maybe the judge disagrees with my assessment and the way that she lays it out. I read it and I go, actually, that makes some sense. That makes some sense. I hadn't considered that. Always a possibility. But anyhow, basically all of that is to come to the conclusion that this case is back on ice until September 27th, where there's going to be a hearing at 10 a.m. in Department 50 at the Stanley Moss Courthouse in Los Angeles. So, bummer. I know I wanted to hear a conclusion for this issue. I know a bunch of other people did as well. But otherwise, what do you think? Were you looking forward to hearing what the judge was going to say on this one? Or are you basically thinking that you know what's going to happen one way or another? I don't know. Let me know in the comments. Let me know in the chat. Or if you're watching this on replay, let me know in the comments down below. Otherwise, I hope you are having a wonderful week. Happy Friday, like I said at the beginning of this video. And I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And yeah, I'll see you guys very, very soon in the next video.